Good morning. How good it is to be together on this warm July Sunday as we gather to worship our God. I trust you know that no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, our deep desire is to meet you where you are and to share God's love with you. Just a few important announcements as we gather this morning. A reminder that we are going to be having a basket raffle again this year. We'll be drawing the winning tickets in the fall at our church picnic on September 19th. Judy Johnston has let me know that quite a few folks have volunteered to create baskets, but if you have not yet spoken to Judy, this is the week to do so. Let her know so that we can plan accordingly. But it sounds like there are a lot of wonderful baskets in the making. Also, a special thanks to those who were here yesterday with our creation stewards for Lansdale Day. We had a little booth out front in the midst of the summer heat and quite a bit of traffic coming and going from our little booth as we encouraged folk to care for God's creation. Also, a reminder, if this is your first Sunday back to in-person worship since we resumed worshiping in June, and you have not yet filled out one of the little cards that is in the pew rack, please take a moment to do so. If you've already filled one out before, no need to fill it out again. Pastor Addy and I are simply trying to keep track of those who have returned and those who may not have yet returned so that we might reach out to them. If you fill out a card, just leave it on the pew, and our hospitality team will gather it after worship this morning. Time to take a deep breath. Join me, if you would, please, in breathing in God's Spirit and presence here among us. Hold on to that. And as you exhale, let go of all those things that you have carried with you into worship, the things that are troubling you and weighing you down. For now, let them go. Let God hold on to them. And may we be together, sensing God's presence as we worship. Amen. On June 13th, many of you were here for our first Sunday of in-person worship because, like me, we were eager to be back in this beautiful sanctuary after 15 months of worshiping apart. I think you would agree. There is something special about being in this place, something very sacred about sharing a pew with fellow worshipers. And God does indeed feel extra close in this place. However, our 15 months of worshiping from near and far, far and wide, reminded us of what Scripture has taught us and what we always knew, and it is this, that God is wherever we are. Not just in this place, not just behind or in the midst of these four sacred walls. God meets us where we are. Whether we are on our front porch or back deck, in our car, at the beach, in the mountains, at our desk, in a hospital room, or corralling little children. God does not need a beautiful edifice to call home, because God has taken up residence in each one of us. God goes with us wherever we are, and God challenges us to become all that we were created to be. May we remember that always, and especially now, as we worship. In the name of God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to join with me in praying the prayer of confession, which is printed in our bulletin. Let us pray together. Ever-present, always loving God, how easy it is to forget that you have chosen to make your home in us. You are not confined to sacred edifices or even beautiful settings, but rather choose to be wherever we are. You meet us in the fray of life, in the chaos and frenzy, in the messy and difficult places. You are with us in the dark and in the light. You are holding us close when we are bursting with joy and when we are overwhelmed with grief. You are near when we are our best selves and when we are our worst selves. Forgive us when we forget where you are. May our awareness of your constant presence always challenge us to do our best to live in ways that honor you. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Of this we can be certain, my friends. When we confess our sins, God is here with us listening. And God forgives not just some of our sin, but all of it. Wiping the slate clean, nothing left behind, a fresh start. May we claim this gift. May we allow it to set us free. And may we live knowing it makes a difference. Amen. Please be seated.
Our first scripture reading today is from the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 7, verses 1 through 14. Now when the king was settled in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, the king said to the prophet Nathan, "See now, I am living in a house of cedar, but the ark of God stays in a tent." Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that you have in mind, for the Lord is with you." But the same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, are you the one to build me a house to live in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent and a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about among all the people of Israel, did I ever speak a word with any of the tribal leaders of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now, therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep to be prince over my people Israel, and I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you, and I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them so that they may live in their own place and be disturbed no more, and evildoers shall afflict them no more, as formerly from the time that I appointed judge over my people Israel, and I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come forth from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me. When he commits iniquity, I will punish him with a rod such as mortals use, with blows inflicted by human beings. And our gospel reading today is from the book of Mark, chapter 6, verses 30 through 34, and then skipping down to verses 53 through 56. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about the whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. As always, I have a special message for our children. I don't see any out there, but I do know that some are listening at home, and plus you are all young at heart, so we'll go ahead with our children's message today. So at our staff meeting on Monday, we were joking around that I should put up a tent up here, because in our Old Testament reading today, we're talking about how God says, "You don't need to build me a house. I live in a tent, and I can travel with you wherever you go." Which was perfect because in our Bible school lessons this month, we're talking about being at a campsite. So we actually used that as one of our lessons. And so this theme of camping kind of was on my mind. But then I read our gospel lesson, and something else kind of came to mind, because there's a very important word in that gospel lesson that's one of my very favorite words, and that is the word compassion. Now, I'm not sure all of you are going to be able to see it, but I made it as big as I could. All right, do you see that? It says compassion. We're going to need to see the word, so hang with me. So Jesus was returning from a time away with his disciples to pray, and as he came ashore, he saw this great crowd of people. Jesus was a pretty popular guy, if you haven't figured that out yet, and he's gaining in popularity as his ministry keeps going. And so everywhere he goes, whether it's a city or just docking his boat, there's a crowd of people there waiting to be healed. And as he comes ashore, the scripture says he looks at them and he has compassion for them. Now, compassion is one of those words that we say a lot, especially in church, but it's one of those words that I'm not sure we really understand what it means. One of those kind of church words. And as I envision our kids sitting up here, I think I say the word compassion a lot to them, and I'm not really sure what they mean. But I have a really cool way of remembering what the word compassion means. So we've got the word compassion. And in that word are two very important words. And this is the first one. Who can read it up front? Passion, right? Passion. Passion is something that we love. It's one of our gifts. It's who God has called us to be and what God has called us to do. Passion, in a sense, is who we are. And there's another word in the word compassion. Compass, right? Compass. A compass leads us in the right direction. Sticking with our theme of camping, holding a compass means that we can't get lost. I mean, if we know how to read a compass. But a compass leads us in the right direction. It reminds us what is true north, what is guiding us, what is leading us. So I think that a really good way to remember what the word compassion means is that we let our passion, that we let who God created us to be, what God created us to love, that we let that passion guide our lives like a compass. And when we allow God's passion or our passion to lead our lives, what will happen is that we will be led to those who are in need of the good news of Christ. So I think that when we read the word compassion, in addition to thinking about, you know, all the times that we say it in church that we're not really sure exactly what it means, perhaps we can think about holding a compass and allowing our passions, what makes us tick, what makes us who God created us to be uniquely, guiding us to do God's work in the world. Jesus certainly did that, didn't he? He used his gift of healing. He used who God created him to be to do God's work in the world. That's why people were flocking to him, because they knew that he could heal them. And so what God calls us to do is to do the same, to figure out who we are, to figure out our passions, so that we can allow them to guide us in the name of Christ. So, bearing that in mind, and thinking of that every time we think about compassion, I invite you to be with me in prayer. God, thank you for leading us in the right direction and for giving us unique joys and passions so that we can help to lead others towards your love. Help us to trust that wherever we are, wherever we go, you are guiding us and you go with us. All of these things we pray in Christ's name, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.